Well, good evening. If you have your Bibles tonight, if you'll take them, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you're a guest with us, these days we've been talking about in the evenings our good confession, making the good confession. All of us who know Jesus came to the place in our life at one time or another we made the good confession. All of us who leave this place and go out tomorrow, back to work, back among other people who do not know Jesus, we have the opportunity to make the good confession, to again talk about and honor and glorify Jesus. So these days we're also thinking about some of the earliest statements, some of the earliest confessions of the church. So how is it that the early church, filled with the Holy Spirit, under so much pressure, under so much persecution, how is it that the gospel spread literally around the world? Well, it is from these confessions. And so we learned that the good confession, first of all, starts with what we say about Jesus. The good confession. So if you've not been with us, we've talked about three different confessions that speak of our Lord in various ways that describe his ministry. First, we learned, and the first confession. What did Peter say? He made the great confession, sometimes called, "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the Messiah. Jesus is Christ." And then we learn that Jesus is sometimes referred to in the Word of God, and there's confession made that he is the Christ, the Son of God. And so Jesus is Christ. Jesus is the Son of God. And then last week we talked about the confession, most familiar perhaps to us, and that is that Jesus is Lord. And so while you have your finger here in 1 Corinthians 15, let me take you back to 1 John chapter 4 for just a moment, and let's read again these ancient words that John reminds us all as followers of Jesus that have to do with our confession. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 14. This is John now writing about what he saw with his own eyes and what he said with his own mouth. He, along with the other disciples, the first original, the followers of Jesus who were with Jesus when he lived on this earth. We have seen and testify. So here's his testimony, all right? We use testimony in Baptist church. Here's John the apostle's testimony. We have seen, and here's our testimony. The Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Amen. The Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Then we read in verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Those words are very important. So we confess tonight Jesus is Christ. We confess tonight that Jesus is the Son of God. We confess tonight that Jesus is Lord. Again, keeping your place in 1 Corinthians 15, go back and let's remind ourselves of the very familiar words in Romans chapter 10. These are the words I've used all of my ministry life when I'm talking to somebody about knowing Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Evangelists have used these words. These words have been shared and preached and translated into almost every, if not every, language in the world. If you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be what?
Saved.
You shall be saved. The confession must be made. So when we talk to people about coming to Jesus, we talk to them about making the good confession. Jesus is Lord. We surrender and believe on Jesus as Lord. When we have our dear people in the baptistry, all of us who've been baptized, we're asked by those who baptized us to make the good confession in the baptistry. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? We make that confession. We make our confession to Jesus and we make our confession among God's people, and then we make our confession in the world. So tonight, we broaden our understanding of what we confess. Tonight, we think about our confessing the gospel. The gospel. Now, most of us, I'm looking around here, this is a seasoned crowd in here. Seasoned crowd. You've heard it all. You've heard it from the best of preachers. You've heard it. You listen to them on the radio. You read, you study, you teach. This is a seasoned group. Rather intimidating to speak to a seasoned group. I'm going to do my best. But here we are. And when we say gospel, sometimes we have a confusion about gospel. Let's read Paul's words, because I want to remind you now, we're about to pull out of... So what is it, Pastor Mike, that the church, before they had a New Testament, how did they tell people about Jesus? They didn't have any Gideons. Are you listening to me? They didn't have any Gideons yet. So what are they going to do? They couldn't give them a Bible. How did they share the gospel? Well, we have all through the New Testament these small passages that remind us of what the ancient church shared with the world. And it's what we must share. So now we talk about the good confession, not about our Lord, but about we confess the gospel. We go out and we tell people the gospel. So let's read these words first of all in 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Would you stand please with me as we read God's word? Now I make known to you, remember, here we are, of all the churches Paul could have written these words to, this divided, spiritually talented bunch of people, the Corinthians. We're looking and we're working in the mornings on 1 Corinthians 13. And again, one of the other great chapters in the book of 1 Corinthians is this chapter 15 on the resurrection of Jesus and on these ancient words that the early church passed down generation to generation, individual to individual. So we read, now I make known to you, brothers, sisters, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Now read carefully. Your Bible may even have these next verses, beginning in verse 3 through verse 8, indented or put in some kind of a margin, reminding you these are significant words. These are ancient words. Pay attention to them, church. For I delivered to you. Paul says, I delivered to you. Did you see it here? As of first importance, what was delivered to me. What Paul learned and was given orally, he now gave to these dear people in Corinth. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, that is Peter's nickname Jesus gave him. You know that Greek word means stone. Cephas, you are a stone, and upon this rock I will build my church, Jesus said. He appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. Now, Lord, we ask that you would help us to make the good confession of the gospel. Help us tonight to understand our duty, Our duty is not to try to make people, impress people, draw them and attract them by trying to be like them in worldly ways. Our task is to make the good confession that we're taught here, that's been handed down from believer to believer for thousands of years. May we make the good confession of the gospel as we receive it, having been given it from others before. May my words honor Jesus tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So the word gospel is the word good news. It has in it the idea of good news. The gospel focuses upon Jesus and Jesus' life. So tonight we notice several things. I want you to see them quickly. First of all, notice we called this at an earlier time sacred trust. When we were looking at some passages together, we talked about sacred trust. There is a sacred trust given to this. You know, this is probably going to shock you tonight, but you're not going to, you know, if you know Jesus, you have eternal life. But unless Jesus comes back tonight or before you die, we're all going to die. And so our time is limited here. You're in your seasons of life just like I am in mine. You know, Ecclesiastes says there's a time for all these things. The psalmist said it this way, my times are in your hand. So we all have times. We all have times. I was talking to Sid Goodwin the other day. Sid, where is he? Is he in here? You know, if you call your name out in church and you're not in here, where is he? Oh, he's on guard. Okay, well, he's on guard duty. So, Sid, listen out there. Pay attention. Wake up. Sid Goodwin just had a heart surgery. He didn't know if he was going to come out of that heart surgery, and God has given him more time. So all of us have time. So what is it we do here in church? We think about this. This church is 125 years old. Everybody has an opinion about how the church has done for 125 years. Everybody has an opinion about how the church has grown or not grown, and how the preachers have done, and how the staff has done. Everybody's got an opinion about, but what's been going on for 125 years here? I'll tell you what's been going on. Handing down, entrusting to others the gospel. Entrusting to others and calling on people to make the only confession that matters. Confessing Jesus as Messiah, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, confessing Jesus as Lord, and then confessing the gospel. So what do I do when I go out with my friends for my short time? What do we do in this church? Our commitment must be, if we don't get anything else done, listen, I mean this with all my heart, if we don't get anything else done through all of our Sunday school, all of our Bible study, all of our disciple life, all of the things we do, if we don't get anything else done but teaching people this right here, we'll have done a good day's work. Because tonight we think about what's been given to us. You, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're along with me. Guess what? Somebody, when I was 9 years old, gave me the sacred trust. Somebody passed on to me when I didn't understand any of it, except that I believed on Jesus as Lord, and I believed God had raised him from the dead, and I was saved, and started on my journey to follow Jesus. But someone gave to you the sacred trust. Now we confess it. We confess it. Notice the language of Paul. I make known to you the gospel, the good news, the glad tidings, which I preached to you, which I also received. Paul received these same words, folks. Paul himself came to know Jesus, and he went and he met with the disciples, and he learned and he grew and he was trained. He met with the Lord. He went to the desert. He met with God for his calling, for his work as an apostle. But he was with the other disciples for a long time. He met with Peter numerous times. He received teaching. He received the sacred trust, which then he amazingly took to his world as best he could in sharing the glad tidings. He said, I make known to you the gospel that I have preached, which I received, by which you also are saved. So this gospel saves us. This gospel helps us to stand. This gospel gives us joy. So what do we learn? We learn tonight that the gospel that's been entrusted to us is of the first importance. So, you know, I was thinking the other day about, you hear all kinds of things and comments in church through the years, and I remember someone making the comment, well, you know, we love our pastor, but the only thing he does is preach the gospel. We want him to go deep. I'm not picking. I'm just reporting what I heard. We love our pastor, but all he does is preach the gospel. There you go. We should all be out preaching the gospel, shouldn't we? You don't need a pulpit. You got a beautiful audience. Think about Paul. Paul's best time. When he went to Corinth, he was in Europe. He was in a completely different place. It would be hard for me to describe in our short time. Folks, this was the city of Corinth was set on two sides of the oceans, and in the middle, it's in this center area. It's not far from Athens, Greece. This is a Jewish man. This is a Jewish man who comes there. There's a Jewish community, not so much. He's in the middle of the Roman world. He's in the middle of the Greek world. And here he is in the middle of this world. And you know what he does? He decides to take up tent making again, which was his profession. This is in my imagination. Paul could talk. He could talk. He wasn't afraid to make the good confession. I can't imagine how many times he was there making his tents for people, someone paying him for a tent, and as he has the opportunity, he says to them, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. And he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And he appeared to Cephas and the 12. I can't help but believe every time he stitched, as he was sitting there, you know, making a tent took a while. They didn't have any machinery. It's all handmade. They have time. They have the opportunity to sit and visit. They're in the marketplace. They're in Corinth, in that crazy, immoral, ungodly place, filled with multiple gods and all kinds of people who worship knowledge and wisdom and all the rest of it. So here is this man. Here is this one man who goes there. And he starts making the good confession about the good news. He does it in his own way, but he shares it. Let me say this. Whenever you make the confession of the gospel, I promise you this, the power of God is seen in people's lives. Did you know that? It's not the way. Paul didn't wake up and say, well, now I'm going to Corinth. I guess I'm going to have to get over here and dress up like these other people over here. And if I dress up like these people, that's surely going to be the way they're going to pay attention to me. No. No, he was among Greeks. So he knew that he had to speak to them in ways that they would understand. When he was with the Jewish people, he would speak to them in these other ways. He confessed the good news. What I'm saying tonight, church, is you have to leave this place and you have to go. You have to go wherever you go. Wherever your going takes you, you have to share. You have to confess. Make the good confession of the good news. Here's the good news. Number one, did you see it? Did you see it? Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. Aren't you glad Messiah died for our sins? According to the Old Testament prophecies about Messiah's coming. not only is the good news about Jesus dying, but the good news, see, the good news is about Jesus and what he did. First, he died. Second, did you catch this? We don't spend a lot of time on this, but he was buried. So we're coming to Easter in the days ahead. We'll have our Thursday service, then Friday, Saturday. We'll have our services as we come to Easter, and then we have celebration of Resurrection Sunday, but Jesus was buried. We went to a lot of burials last year. Buried a lot of our people last year. We said goodbye. We committed their spirit to the Lord and their body to the ground. We said goodbye. Christ died for our sins and was buried. Listen, tonight, this is what you say to people. You don't have to come up with your own creative words. You don't have to be cute and fancy. You don't have to try to quote some modern thing from the modern world to make somebody think that you are relevant. No, this is what you say. This is what we say to the craziness of our time. This is what we say to the people who go to work with us, who have no hope, who have no idea of what they're going to do. Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried. He was dead and in the grave. He was buried. And then what does it say? He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Amen? So what do I say to my friend who's broken and his marriage is destroyed? Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And he was buried. And on the third day, he rose again. And then notice what the Bible says. He appeared. He rose. Notice the difference here. He was raised and then he appeared. And notice this group of people to whom he appeared. He appeared to the stone first. He appeared to the stone. What a special meeting that must have been for Peter. I don't know what Paul may have been told by Peter about when he sat and spoke with him one-on-one as they had their time together. Can you imagine Paul the Apostle and the Apostle Peter, Cephas, the stone, talking about what the Lord had said to Paul and what the Lord had said to Cephas, the stone. They were sharing together their conversations about what the resurrected living Jesus had to say to them. He appeared to Cephas and to the 12. He appeared to more than 500 at one time, most of whom remain until now. Notice the way he's writing this. He's writing this reminding them that in his day, these people, many of them were still alive, who saw Jesus raised from the dead, glorified before them, and yet with a body, his body. And then he appeared to James, the apostles, and finally to Paul. So tonight we confess the gospel as first importance. What's the most important thing I can do for my neighbor? Tell them this: Christ died for our sins. Who's Christ? I'm glad you asked me. I'm glad you asked me. Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Bible. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Raised? Yeah, he came back to life. And then he appeared to many people before he ascended to heaven. This is the confession of the gospel. And as the church is faithful, listen, I mean this with all my heart. As the church is faithful about confessing the gospel, God adds to the church. Do you believe that? I do believe that. Whatever else we study, whatever else we want to learn, whatever else we want to understand about God's word, please, please pay attention to what Paul says here. I delivered to you, verse 3, as of first importance, as of primary priority, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. He appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Amen. So this week we go and we make the good confession. You're going to have your chance. It's not going to come at a time when you're ready for it. You know, usually sharing the gospel with somebody comes when you got a lot of stuff going on. You know what I'm saying? It never happens. It happens the way God wants it to happen. It happens in the most inconvenient times, but you've got to stop. You've got to pay attention. Look, this many of us scattered around this part of the country this week, you're going to meet somebody who needs to hear the good confession of the gospel. They need to hear it from you. Don't say, look, it'd be really good if you came up to the church and we can tell you about it. No, you go ahead and tell them. Go ahead and tell them. Confess. Confess right on the spot. Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And he appeared to Cephas and the 12. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these ancient words. We thank you for the power of the gospel. Because when we talk about Jesus and his death, when we talk about Jesus and his burial, when we talk about Jesus being alive, when we talk about Jesus appearing to his dear disciples, though we remember, Lord, tonight, Heavenly Father, we know what Peter wrote. Though we have not seen Jesus with our eyes, we love him. And so tonight, we confess Jesus is the Christ. Tonight, we confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Tonight, we confess that Jesus is absolute Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords. And tonight, we ask you, Lord, we ask you to help us this week make the good confession of the gospel to somebody who desperately needs to know. Help us not to decide. Help us just to speak, just like Paul set an example for us. In Jesus' name we pray.